This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking season 2, episode 3 of Community, The Psychology of Letting Go. I'm Josh Wiggler. I am joined here by someone who I love podcasting in pairs with this person, Jess Sterling. Jess, how you doing?
Is this anesthesiology?
Yeah, everyone just go with it. Just go with it. Of course, podcasting in pairs is fun, but podcasting in trios is where it's at. So it is my great pleasure. Have you ever had the pleasure of having this person on a podcast? Well, certainly we've got her here now. Sarah Carradine going round the twist and finding herself in Greendale.
I woke up an hour early to slightly curl my hair.
Yeah, that's the thing. That was such a cutting remark, by the way.
It was so good.
Yeah, that was the killer.
Ever so slightly curl your hair.
Yeah, so yeah. Have you ever woke up just an hour early to curl your hair?
I can handle that. I say I have never woken up an hour early to ever so slightly curl my hair.
Sarah Carradine in the house, responsible for some of the biggest belly laughs I've had on a podcast in recent memory. If you listen to the Mole Patrol podcast over at Reality TV Rehab Up, Sarah, I have to thank you for exposing me to Round the Twist. What is Round the Twist for anyone who doesn't know what that is? There's a chance that people are listening. They're like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, strange things happen when you go Round the Twist. It's a joy. It's on Netflix. Go and watch it. It's an Australian television show for children features casual nudity,
very casual
food, eating, vomiting. Don't watch it if you're an emetophobe. Ghosts, strange things happening. As we say, they live in a lighthouse and things are odd. Green babies. 12-year-old boys getting pregnant by trees.
It's a lot.
12-year-old girls riding horses nude through the town and nobody blinks an eye.
And an incredible theme song. One of the all-time great TV theme songs, I would say.
Have you ever?
Yeah, have you ever listened? If you haven't, this is it. If you've never heard it before. This is the Round the Twist theme song. Have you ever felt like this?
Are you going round the twist?
I am. I'm always going round the twist.
Ever felt like this? How strange things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, have you heard the word about the bird and the spider? It wiggled and
It wiggled.
Well, have you ever?
Ever felt like this?
Are you going round the twist? Ever felt like this?
So that's the Round the Twist theme song, and it is probably my favorite piece of music that I've ever heard. So Sarah introduced this to me, and I can never thank you enough for what you've done. I only hope to someday introduce you to something that gives you as much pleasure as the introduction of Round the Twist.
Oh, you already
gave to
you
me.
Already have, Josh. You've already given me more hours of pleasure than. Oh,
oh hey, are you going Round the Twist? Wow, have you ever ever felt like this? My God,
Josh. That's all I'm saying.
Have you ever?
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. My goodness. Ever felt like this? Strange things happening when you're going around to community building, Sarah.
Community building, not round the twist. But episodes around the twist that I just can't wait for you to see because they're just, you think you're happy now. It's,
I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Sarah, welcome to community building. We are talking about intro. The Psychology of Letting Go is the episode we're talking about. Jess, was this an episode for Sarah, or did Sarah pick it? Like, what's the
Sarah
process here?
This. Yep. Yeah. She. I've reached out, and I think Sarah reached out to me and was like, "Hey, I love community," and I was like, "Amazing! Would you like to come on?"
Yeah.
And Sarah, you picked this episode, right? Why did you pick this? I'm trying to remember.
I picked this episode because I think it's a really hard episode. I love community. I'm going to start big. I love community. I watched it in the time that it was on. I don't know how because I can't remember my past. But I think
that. Emma TPD.
This is probably because of community building. This is probably my fourth time through.
Whoa.
But I don't, I remember them, but I don't remember them. So when I listen to you guys talk about, you know, where it sits in the canon and what the different seasons are, I go, yeah, I don't have that analysis of this show. I watch it. For me, I must have heard about it somehow. And I was watching the first episode and thinking, it's okay. Watching, perfectly happy with it. And then Abed said, I see your value. And I thought, what was that? I have to keep watching. It was that moment that made me keep watching. Abed's my favorite character. And then I think that this episode is a difficult one. I don't know that it's very good. I don't know if I want to give away my rating yet. And I like a challenge. So I thought I wanted to talk about it. Because I think there are great things in it, but it doesn't add up to a particularly good episode. And I thought this, I'm really interested to talk about it and see if either you can change my mind or I can get my thoughts a little clearer. So that's the story of me, community, and this episode.
Great. So I mean, I guess coming into this, just like to tip my hand a little bit, is like I've been really, really enjoying season two so far. And for me, this was for sure the weakest of the three was my feeling. Has some moments that like destroyed me and like some really good character stuff along the way and just some really funny gags along the way. But like I'm even just like looking at my meow beans.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think I go as high as a 4 and as low as like a 2.5. So like that spread is pretty narrow for me. Like that, like typically I'm like, I feel like I'm a fairly generous grader. So I don't know. There's definitely a lot in here that I enjoyed, but by and large, I think Sarah, maybe your assessment of like, does this add up to a great episode? I'm not sure that it does for me. Like certainly better than a lot of season one still for me. There's just, I don't know, there was just a little bit of the wow that was probably slightly missing for me this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think there's like one character who I think really benefits from this episode, and the rest are kind of more serviceable in my mind, to the point where even like some of the storyline I get like annoyed with, and we'll get into reasons why later, but I think it's a fine episode, but I just think like if you're comparing it to the rest of season two, it's really hard to like love this episode when you know that there's just like so much better out there. It's not a bad episode, but when you're comparing it to other episodes of Community, I just think it kind of falls a little bit flat.
Yeah, and that's one reason why it's fun to talk about it, because I think if you look at the really great top tier episodes, they're just great and everything's great. But if you talk about things that aren't so good, you are able to say, well, what is it that community is at its best, and therefore why is this episode lacking? Good though it is, funny though it is, what is it lacking that would make it more community-ish?
Yeah.
Best of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into it. Let's get into the question and see if we can't pull out some answers. We'll do the recap. We'll get into some feedback. We'll do all of our ratings. Of course, the feedback we've got, but you can always send it in for future episodes, community@postshowrecaps.com. You can also, of course, watch Community Building live if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps. We record these live for the patrons, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You not only get the episode a couple days early, but you can also watch it live. So consider signing up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. I am contractually obligated to say this on every podcast during the month of September, that the month of September is the final month that you can sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon and get a Wiggler's Wombats hat. The Wiggler's Wombats hats are leaving. They're getting out of here. They're not dying. Their bodies may be gone, but they're being turned into fumes that you have to, it's a whole to-do.
Being vaporized.
Yeah, getting the hat from vapor form to back to hat form may become quite a process. So you probably want to get a hat now before it's vapors. If you're at the award winner tier on the Post Show Recaps Patreon program for 3 months, you get access to a Wombats hat if that's what you want to get of the things that are available. We've been doing that all year long. That is ending. We're doing a new merch system starting in October, the 1 year anniversary of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. So if any of this is interesting to you, it may not be, no harm, no foul, but I just feel like I should spread the word. This is the thing. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps at that award winner tier. If you want a Wombats hat, this is your last shot to get it this month of September.
I'm a day one patron, and I can say that you absolutely receive far, far more than you give. Far more, far more.
Oh, man. Amazing. Incredible. Let's do this. Let's talk about the psychology of letting go. Jess, let's build this diorama together.
Yes. Director Anthony Russo, of course, amazing director, writers Dan Harmon and Hillary Winston. Hillary Winston, a fave. She actually appears in this episode very briefly and premiered October 7th, 2010. We start out in the study room. Annie and Britta are constructing a diorama. We will be seeing a lot of dioramas this season. Is there an anthropology? And that's a huge thing.
Is that a thing that in anthropology courses you do a lot of diorama work? Do either of you know?
I took Anthropology 101 and I never constructed a diorama. I think they just poke fun at it and make it absolutely ridiculous, like the number of dioramas.
And this is a wonderful diorama because it has Chekhov's oil can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So they're going to, Shirley enters and asks what they're doing. Just the two of you alone. They're going to help raise money on the quad to help with the oil spill. Shirley obviously is bothered that she wasn't invited. Yay, to having fun in pairs.
I love it. I think that's really funny. Shirley not thrilled to not be invited.
No, of course not, because she feels left out.
Yeah,
no one wants to feel left out.
Yes.
Jeff enters and he has a Band-Aid on his arm. Apparently he was getting a blood test for a physical. We see Abed. Did you notice this, Josh, by the way? We'll get into it later, but did you notice Abed speaking to a pregnant woman?
So here's what's happening. I am aware that something is happening with Abed this season. That is all that I am aware of. What I am aware of is that there is a thing that you could clock with Abed if you know what to look for. I don't know if it's
in
like
this episode.
I don't know if it's like similar to the Dean and the Dalmatian thing that builds up.
I think it's less of a. Like, it's a less of a season-long arc than it is self-contained in this episode.
Okay. So it's only in this episode.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, slightly a little bit more in another episode, but we'll get to that with the feedback and everything else.
Then, no.
Okay.
I'm not aware of this. I know that there's a thing, though.
The question is, do you know Abed's storyline in this episode?
No.
Okay.
What I know is by the end of it, he's asked, what have you been up to? We haven't seen you recently. And he says, like, not much, right? He's like, yeah, I haven't been doing much.
Miles.
So there's a pregnant woman that he is speaking to in this scene.
In this scene, he's like, basically, you see behind Jeff, like through the study room window wall there, he's having a conversation with a pregnant woman.
Okay. So what I do recall is by the end of the episode, at one point, someone is giving birth in a van. Did I miss that Abed is delivering the baby?
Abed is delivering the baby. So there's like a few different sections of this like running gag, and we'll get into it kind of as they crop up. But that is the very first one.
Okay.
Is that moment where we see him kind of, you know, talking to a woman in the background. We don't really know what's going on. It seems like a weird conversation. But maybe he's like the father or something. Yeah, it's a whole thing. But anyway.
Wait, we've watched the episode, so let's just talk about this right now, because this is
he's not the father.
Why does this exist?
So the reason this exists is, do you remember when they had the STD fair? The episode with the STD fair where they gave out the condoms.
Yes, yes.
And they
yes.
were faulty condoms that had holes in them.
Yes.
There was a couple that sealed the deal, if you will. And this episode is 9 months later.
Oh, okay.
So they set it up back then.
Okay, okay.
To pay off here.
Okay. But to pay it off in a way that, like, they don't really, like, do anything on the show other than this, like, background thing.
It's all background. And because I love Abed so much, this was a very tough episode for me to pick, because there is sort of so little of him interacting with the group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this sort of interstitial story that you see happening in the background, including him studying the book on birth, seeing the baby at the end. I mean, it ties in thematically with the episode as well. I mean, we'll get into it. I'll let you do that.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot more of it, but the very first part of it is this woman who's named Christine basically tells him she thinks he's the father. And we see kind of like, we don't obviously hear anything. We just kind of see it.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not going to be able to there's like a major storyline in this episode that I'm not even aware of that I need to now like go back and watch.
You can track it. It's very easy to tell when they're going to go to it, because the character who's supposed to be in like the foreground that we're paying attention to is usually kind of like off center.
Yeah.
It's awkward. Like the filming style is very awkward. I mean, I watched the episode like three times in prep. So
that's how I noticed, the delivery. Like that was like Shirley, very obvious. Yeah. Like Shirley's on the bench and that's happening in the background. And like,
yeah.
I thought of it as little more than like the show, like winking in its very community way at like the notions of life and death. Very Lost. Mm-hmm. In certain ways, which of course is the meaning of Christmas. So I thought it was, I didn't realize that it was like as big as Abed may be the father of this child. I mean, it's the whole thing that I'm missing out on.
It is and it isn't. It's not like a huge deal, because they do it for the joke. That's all, you know, it's not like this comes up a ton later or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we see Britta asks Jeff, if he even knew about the oil spill, and he says he has the AOL homepage bookmarked. Even in 2010, that seems insane to me.
I haven't been on AOL.com in a long time. Let's take a look. At AOL.com.
Ever in my life.
No. Did you even know about the ostrich that raised the Tiger Cup?
No. I missed that. AOL.com is a terrible website. It's just like, it's very text heavy, but then like all of the images are kind of like stacked in this unflattering way. I'm disinterested. I don't love it.
It's an unflattering website.
Yeah. I don't like it.
It's no good.
I don't like AOL.com.
Not arching its back enough.
No, it's not. It really needs to be. I won't give it my money. Yeah. I'll give my money to Google.com.
So Troy and Abed enter, and Troy says he just saw a dead body. So apparently he found Pierce's mom dead in the garage. She'd been in bad shape for a while, so I guess she crawled out there to die like a cat.
Poor Troy. This whole thing is horrible.
The way he says it, though.
I kept waiting.
She crawled out there to die like a cat.
I kept waiting for another shoe to drop, Sarah. I kept waiting for there to be like, it wasn't actually Pierce's mom, that it's not a human body that he saw. And then, no, like, it's totally down the line, Troy discovered Pierce's mother's dead body, which is horrible.
One of the things that I really love about Community, that in the middle of all the community-ness of it, it really is a dead body. And this young man who, if you sort of take a step back, is somewhat naive, somewhat unaware of the world, full of joy, full of life, full of insecurity and love and all the things he's full of, that he is the one that finds a dead body. And anybody that's ever seen a dead body, they are dead. I don't know if either of you have seen a dead body. I have, and they're dead. And it is shocking, no matter who you are, no matter how expected it is. And for this fey young man, this creature of joy and light, to be the one that actually sees it. And as he says, I saw her underwear. You know, the image of this discarded, you know, she's used up her organic body. So if you were serious about it, it's like, yeah, this perfect image of the discarded husk of us, what's left over. And he still manages to, I don't know, to bring it to us in a community way, while still that kind of what would be the reality of it if it was real.
Yeah, I really think that having this storyline tethered to Troy, I think, to your point, is a really strong call. I think there are a lot of ways in which Troy still reads as kind of like an innocent here, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few of these characters are kind of like that, but I think like Troy is like centrally located in that idea from my experience of Community so far. And like, I think like everybody in the room is like, obviously this is very serious. They're like, obviously this is very terrible. And I love like the way they rally around Troy like immediately. And then Pierce walks into the room. And like, it's even like
whistling.
This, and it's even this feeling, though, that you get the sense of like people like being ready to like comfort Pierce. And then Pierce's like, what's up? Why is everyone looking at me like this? Yeah. Who died? Literally is what he says. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you're ready for there to be like a sad moment on Community, and it immediately shifts into something so preposterous and like ridiculous because it's Community and that's just how they operate. And he says that his mom isn't dead. Her heart, lungs, kidneys, and brain have stopped working because she used up her organic body. So apparently Pierce's mom, and we've heard about Pierce's, religion before. So she's a part of his Buddhist church. She's being stored in an energon pod. And in a few years, when our technology advances, they'll extract her body vapors and recondense it to a solid state. Before you know it, Mom will be back in the kitchen making Troy and me sandwiches.
Troy is so upset.
Loses it.
Sandwiches is the last. I mean, it's
too much.
Yeah. I just love the like the noise he makes when he starts crying. It's so perfect.
The button on the scene is really great too, where Troy's like, where Jeff asks like 2 packs a day, like that. That whole thing is really, really funny.
Mm-hmm. We're also setting up this sort of more strongly family vibe where Britta gives him the look and he gives her the look. You know, it's the parents over the heads of the children. Mm-hmm. 2 packs a day is what he comes up with, the turtle.
It's so funny. Yeah.
So of course, immediately everybody surrounds Jeff in the hallway.
What does he say? He's like, I can't get to the can opener if you're all in the way. Yeah. I mean, it really does feel like a herding cats kind of moment.
Annie says he won't let them hold a memorial service, and she was halfway done with the collage. Ahmed says he hasn't cried yet, which he hears isn't normal. And Shirley says everybody has some service the departed. Eskimos, witch doctors, even Jewish people.
Oh, my God.
So mean.
Yeah.
Britta says death needs to be coped with, not ignored. Otherwise, why did mankind concoct all these religions?
That's a fair question.
But there is a question of when Arbet says he hears it's normal. Someone asks, who's normal? And Shirley says, well, Baptist.
Right.
Yeah.
I love Shirley.
They're the normal ones.
My hand. I love Shirley. I love her.
Yeah, obviously I do as well. And I really like her in this episode, too. I think she's hysterical.
Yeah, I think she's, to be honest, probably the best part of that particular storyline.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Jeff says there isn't a big difference between Pierce's religion and anybody else's. And he says, but Pierce's has lasers.
Pierce's has lasers. Lasers are cool. You know, lasers I do have cool. to say.
Laser Lotus is a pretty cool name. Not going to lie.
Lasers are cool. I like them.
And Jeff says he's dedicated enough about not caring about religion that he lets everyone else have their own beliefs. Can't Pierce have his? Can't you be cool like me?
Yeah.
So many.
That's what he's aiming for.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous thing. Yeah. Like, can you imagine if you ended all of your speeches with, can't you be cool like me?
I should probably try that out and see how that goes. I can't imagine it's going to go great. This is where, so we go to anthropology, and Pierce's mother is in the process of being vaporized right now. He's still, like, you know, seemingly pretty, you know, nonchalant about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like, it feels, apparently being vaporized feels like the second when the fudge is on your sundae is still hot. And when you're the first one to break in a new boot job.
I can't with that. I just can't. Although, it's thematically, I mean, you know, these writers know what they're doing. It's,
I do agree with the fudge on the sundae. Like, that is spot on.
Wait, you agree that that when the fudge on your sundae is still hot,
that's a great thing.
That's what it feels like to have your body vaporized?
Well, I agree that, like, if he's saying vaporizing is, like, the best feeling ever, and, like, I understand what he means by the fudge on your sundae being hot, because I love that.
The ice cream is cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the contrast. Josh, you're all about the contrast. You don't like it?
No, I get it. I had a hot fudge milkshake this past summer.
What's a hot fudge milkshake?
I had the same question, which is why I ordered it. Because we went to the ice cream place that we went to on vacation. I always just get the twist in a cone, the round the twist in a cone.
Yep.
Someone who was with us was like, what's that hot fudge, that hot fudge milkshake? It's like, I have no idea. Like, oh, we should find out. I said, all right, I'll do it. And it was like a hot fudge sundae, but in milkshake form. It's delicious.
Was it like being
Yeah.
Was the hot fudge just mixed in all willy-nilly?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know about willy-nilly. I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
I was just saying, like, you need the hot fudge to be hot. It's like when I eat my fries with ketchup, I want the ketchup to be cold and the french fry to be hot.
It was, it wasn't particularly hot. It was a cold, you know, ice cream treat. But it had, like, the hot fudge taste.
No, I need the hot fudge, like, actual, like, texture and, like...
It's really good. And it felt like it lasted forever. I felt like I was drinking that milkshake for an honest 20 minutes, which is so long. It was so long, but I never felt, like, sick. I mean, maybe eventually, but, like, not in the moment. Like, I never felt like I was tired of it. Like, it was always there for me. It was very comforting. Anyway, I recommend a hot fudge milkshake, and that was, I don't know about best feeling ever, but maybe best feeling of the summer other than discovering Round the Twist.
I wish I'd had a hot fudge sundae at some time in my life. Maybe when I come to America again,
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
Have you ever?
I have put hot...
had hot fudge like this. Yeah.
Hot chip... Oh.
French, yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
No. I got confused for a second. Yeah. And I thought you meant chocolate chips because we were talking chocolate. And I was like, why are you putting chocolate chips in me?
Well, no, we're not going there.
Of looking at something on a menu and thinking, that cannot possibly taste good. And so therefore I'll order it. And I didn't realize that in the world who had that same thought line after thinking, what is that? or find out what it is. Somebody thought it was good.
Sometimes you gotta find out. I was like, it's a hot fudge milkshake. How bad can that be? Turns out,
all good things.
Very good.
Yeah.
You got the hot, you got the fudge, you got the milk.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time. Anyway, anthropology.
Yeah, so Duncan is teaching the class. He asks what anthropology is.
Yeah.
Seriously, does anybody know? You and the boobs.
You and the boobs. Chang shows up, and now we're in like the Chang versus Duncan storyline of this episode, which is is wild. I love the tape measure. I really, really do. I love like Abed helping with the tape measure. I just love that whole idea of like the invisible force field in this episode. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think like this is solid Chang content, right? Like, you know, Abed's like, oh, something wacky and zany is going on outside of class. Like, absolutely include me in this.
Yes. Yeah, he's in.
I'm a fan of Chang. Yes, I know he does, you know, in the future, and this is not spoiling anything for Josh because it's been spoken of, in the future he will become.
Yep.
He never became so tiresome that I hated him. I'm a little more Chang tolerant. I can take a lot more Chang tent. This one, I was just amazed again at his, I mean, for such a kind of gross character, gross meaning, you know, large and broad strokes, Ken Jeong has such a fine subtlety in his moments, in his facial features, in his command of his body, and his complete commitment to this character. So I can take a lot of Chang, and this was really good Chang for me, this Chang tent.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Chang in this episode for sure. It's just the measuring tape and that like 25, and later when he's gonna get like force pushed, it's just hysterical to me. Just like the full commitment to the character, I think is really great in this one.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
I guess I was somewhat surprised to see Professor Duncan back. I mean, I guess I know that he's in the Christmas episode this season for sure. But it felt like very season one. I don't know. There's parts of this episode that felt like very season one to me. And like, I think like I missed a very big thing that really delineates it from a season one episode. Like, I think like this runner in the background that I like basically completely missed is very much not a season one thing that the show would have ever done.
I think the broad strokes of the storyline feel season one to me, but like the minor subtle differences you can feel with it being season two.
The disturbance in the force. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on the campus quad, we have Britty yelling about the oil spill, saying it's the single largest disaster in recorded history. I really love this guy, and I nearly gave him my Dean's List point. He says, you don't have to yell because no one is on the other side of this issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was like the timing and the way he delivered that line just absolutely killed me.
Yes.
So we see Annie talking to a guy about pelicans. And the pelicans are all covered in oil, and everyone likes pelicans. They bring babies.
That's the stork. Wrong bird.
And, I'm so silly.
Why couldn't a pelican bring a baby?
Well, it would fit in the, because you know, with a pelican.
The gobbler thing, yeah.
More than its belly can.
The gobbler thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why aren't they the ones to bring bring babies?
Probably their rate is too high, I would guess. Because they know what they're working with, so it's like, you want me to bring that baby to you? Well, you gotta pay me. This is my gift, you know, this is my livelihood. You're going to have to show up. So maybe the stork is the more affordable option.
The stork.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Organize their union well enough.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Single employee.
Well, yeah. We hope so. We hope so. But, you know, I don't have inside info on like the inner workings of the stork union. I don't know how far along they've got.
I have no idea what's happening at this point. I was just looking at what I had to say next, and next thing I know, we were talking about stork unions.
Yeah.
So
it's just another episode of community building.
Josh, this is another scene where we have like secret Abed shenanigans happening in the background. So behind Annie, if you noticed it, you would see that Abed is having a confrontation with Christine, the pregnant woman, and her boyfriend on the campus quad. So the boyfriend like knocks Abed's drink out of his hand and like tries to fight Abed, and Abed like runs away.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I'm going to have to rewatch this episode before next week so I can comment on everything that I missed.
Yeah, there's like a little bit there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back in the nurse's office, and Jeff is there for his test results. So we get Nurse Jackie again.
Nurse Jackie. Yeah.
Yes. He was so good. I really contemplated also giving him my
his line in this scene, those paps aren't going to smear themselves. Is crazy.
That's what put him on my Dean's list.
Oh my God.
And he rubs his hands when he says it, which for some reason grossed me out in a way I can't explain.
Warming his hands.
I know, but like it's kind of gross. Especially to think of like him being the one to administer a pap smear. There's something so wrong about it.
My goodness. My goodness.
Awful phrase. Pap smear.
Yeah.
It is.
Really terrible and anything to
and
do.
And so
with
like the full lean into it of those paps aren't gonna smear themselves. Like coming from Patton Oswalt is just like, I don't know, that is a dynamite line. And if not for the inclusion of another character in this episode, Nurse Jackie would have gotten my Dean's List point, for sure. But I do have a responsibility to Betty White and what I had pledged earlier this season.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Nurse Jackie tells him he has something infectious. Charm. His moles are even shaped like little hearts.
Wow, that's so cute.
Yeah.
My moles are just moles shaped sure. like moles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Jeff wonders if his results have been framed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Except he needs to see a doctor to get a prescription for cholesterol medication because his cholesterol is a little bit too high.
Well, but how is this Jeff possible? His body is a temple.
Yeah. And Nurse Jackie thinks he accidentally told Jeff that he has AIDS, which is so awful to think about him actually doing to somebody.
Doesn't he say, like, I've done it before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, the temple doesn't last forever. It's a temple of doom.
Yeah. Yeah. This is funny. I was thinking Last Crusade for some reason, and, like, the way that the whole temple falls apart there, but Temple of Doom works for sure. It's a better wordplay. But that is a pretty good metaphor for life. Just the adventure comes to the terrifying halt as you're trying to leave with the artifact. You gotta outrun the rolling boulder. I don't know. I'm kind of losing it, the metaphor, just a touch.
Somewhere
along the way.
That metaphor. I mean, I was in the cinema seeing that rolling boulder in the first when it was first released. That's how old I am. Before it took its place in, you know, the collective conscience. We saw that ball. It was extraordinary. We'd never seen anything like it. But of course, rolling boulders will not, this won't be the last time that rolling boulders will appear in Community.
Oh, that sounds like it's not the case. Oh, I know it's not the case.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay. I just had to unstick myself in time a little bit to remember what we're talking about there. Chaotic energy.
We're back in the cafeteria. Jeff is eating just the egg whites of the hard-boiled eggs and dumping the yolks out.
Yeah, like those bluish, grayish, greenish yolks.
Yeah.
Which, like, I guess, like, I don't know, for me, in Jeff's defense, I wouldn't eat those either, but I'm not a hard-boiled egg guy. No shade, no shame. You do what you gotta do. We obviously are not a big egg household here with the great Emily Fox. But, like, him just, like, dumping those little yolk balls was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard visual for me, I have to say.
You like a poached? Are you more a poached fan?
I'll never seek it out, Sarah. You know, like it's never something that I'll like go on the hunt for. If it is what's happening, I'll be like totally good to eat it. But I was never like a big egg guy even before Emily and I got together, and like, you know, we just like don't have eggs around because she can't eat them. But like I was never like a huge eggy breakfast person to begin with. But have I had a delicious poached egg before? Of course. Absolutely.
Have you ever?
but I don't know that I've ever enjoyed a hard boiled egg. I don't think that's ever been for me. I don't think that I've ever eaten like a hard boiled egg and been happy about it. But I know tons of people swear by it. Probably just an excellent, easy source of protein.
Good picnic food.
Yeah.
With a twist in a piece of greaseproof paper, you open the
transports. Well, yeah, you open the twist.
The twist,
yeah.
But those look like particularly unpleasant. The thing about the hard boiled egg is a good hard boiled egg is like really good. Hard-boiled egg, and the thing that the objects that we see Jeff joylessly shoving in his face. It's a very fine line.
Yeah. The yolk didn't look very good.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Not like a gray tint.
No, it looked like the badminton, is it the birdie?
A birdie?
Yeah, it looked like a birdie. It looked like the top of a birdie.
Oh, the shuttlecock.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
It's a shuttlecock.
Yeah. That's another term. Yeah, yeah. Birdie shuttlecock.
Yeah.
That's the term. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that, and that cafeteria, and the way that food is produced in that cafeteria, and the types of food, and the people working there. This makes this I'm anti this egg. I'm very pro egg normally.
Yeah.
But I am anti that particular.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
It's undesirable.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shirley comes up, very nicely asks him if he's gotten the results of his blood test. I'm fine!
Yeah. This is the whole, like, everybody's dying, Shirley, and a classic, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, she felt that his blood test was, you know, his life catching up with him. He was about to pay the piper in the first thing. As a blood test. She's, yes, you know.
Yeah.
She knows. Britta and Annie are counting money, and Shirley asks, how is it going with the little side project that
two of you are doing is so good. Yeah.
Annie says that they made, you know, so it ends up that Annie made them $236. Britta made them less than $14.
Yeah.
And Annie says Greendale cares about this issue.
Britta's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's what's going on here. And just it spills out into the huge Britta and Annie battle about Annie's just doing the sexy schoolgirl routine. Like, you're sticking out your chest. I got a bad back.
My favorite quip of this like scene here, and one of the best ones of the Britta Annie storyline, is, you know, the guys that have a sock at home with your name on it. And Annie says, if a guy wants to make a puppet out of me, that's hardly your concern. She's so naive. And I never caught that line on, like, I mean, before this recent rewatch. Yeah. And I, when I tell you, I died.
I like the whole bitter much, like the whole, mm-hmm. like, sort of circularity of that. I thought was pretty good. But I don't know, like this, I guess, like, does the show feel like they need to, like, have a storyline that answers, that Jeff kissed them both at multiple points in time? Like, is that, like, what's going on? Like, cause they kind of try and, like, tie all of that together in this episode, I feel like. I don't know.
I don't think they needed it.
We'd begun the process of moving on, right? Yeah, if not, Andy, like, says, we like, had
oh,
moved
I think you're
on.
Gross now. Yeah. Like, I don't care. And then to me, and I love Britta and Annie, and I also obviously Shirley, but, like, to me, it's such an unnecessary storyline that makes them both look really bad and petty and immature. And I really hate that they kind of, and they do it in a funny way. Like, they do it in probably the best way they could, I guess. But, like, this storyline, I don't like it. I just feel like it's like, this is such a trope that we have two young women vying over the same guy. They're going to be petty and snap at each other. And, you know, I just think it's kind of unnecessary. Sarah, is this, like, one of the reasons this isn't, like, a top tier episode for you beyond?
I think if they had done that, but taken it somewhere better. So it's almost okay.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, when they have the rapprochement, it's, I wanted to be like you. I wanted to be like you, which is a sort of a common theme of two much younger girls than these girls really are. So I quite like that. I liked the oil wrestling, making more money, and therefore when we forget that men are stupid, you know, they win. But it just needed one more something, one more thing. And so it's almost like as you watch it, you're enjoying it, the sock puppet remark, the back brace remark where Annie says, I used to wear a back brace. And Shirley says, that's why. I mean, I love Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
As you're watching it, you are enjoying it to some extent, but then at the end of it, not unlike a hot fudge milkshake, you sort of think, I feel a bit sick now. I was sort of okay. I was buying
it. That was hours later, though. Anyway, I shouldn't.
But I find it quite, you know, to be serious, I actually find this quite disturbing. And what's the most disturbing is watching it, you as a viewer accept it. So, and then you go, I actually watched and sort of enjoyed and accepted this relationship between these two, like, really interesting women. Reduced to, you know, 16-year-old girls, and not even, I don't want to be rude about 16-year-old girls, particularly nowadays. They're not like this. Well, who knows? I'm not one, but, you know.
Right.
So
I
the reason I wanted to talk about this episode was kind of to expiate a little of my shameful enjoyment of this storyline, because it doesn't actually go anywhere. In the end, it doesn't really tie in with the major theme either, which is another fault that I think it has. But I laughed.
Yeah.
But I laugh.
I think that's what Community does right, is, like, making a storyline that would be even more tropey and kind of overdone in another sitcom. At least they have, like, some of the jokes and, like, that make it somewhat enjoyable. It just bothers me that this is what they do to Annie and Britta. And you're so right, Sarah. Like, it really doesn't tie in to the other theme of, like, life and death, birth and death. You know, it doesn't tie in at all. It just feels like an afterthought almost.
Yeah.
And like we need to tie these loose ends up. It's like, we did that. We did that like an episode or two ago. Why are we revisiting? Yes, we know you both made out with Jeff. Like, I'm well aware of that. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
And they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's really fair. I think that I think that the fact that it is like so untethered from the main points of the episode weakens it even further. I think, but I do think that there are, it is like to the testament of the show and just the quippiness that lines, like, if a guy wants to make a puppet of me, that's hardly your concern. It is just like, it's just like so incisive. Like, it is just like, you know, it is just like sharp writing. Like, the story could be bad, but like the beats within the story are still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. But we're back in anthropology class. Troy asks Pierce what's with the lava lamp, and he says it's his mom's Energon pod.
Yes.
Her vapor is in the bubbles.
I want to go into the Energon pod when I'm done. Put my vapors in the Energon pod. That looks pretty cool.
And then when we have the technology,
that's where I want to be.
Back as a liquid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just put me back in the computer. Yeah.
Abed's reading an interesting book.
This, yes. So what's he's like, wouldn't he have like a physical anthropology book?
He has a pamphlet about expecting a baby.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Another little drop in there.
Yep. Great.
So Jeff says he assumes it was free. I love this line from Pierce. Energon doesn't grow on trees, Jeff. It's harvested by super bees in Buddha's meteor crater.
Yeah.
There are so many things in that one statement.
Yeah. The super bees I want to know more about. And I don't want to meet them, but I'd like to do some research. Mm. And then Buddha's meteor crater. Mm-hmm. This is a place I'd like to explore. I'd like to find out more. I'd like to go there.
Is it a meteor crater that belongs to Buddha? Is it Buddha as a meteor made the crater? How do we pass a Buddhist?
I think it's possessive. I think it's Buddha owns a meteor crater.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, Buddha arrived via meteor. It could be that Buddha staked claim and ownership over a meteor crater that Buddha found.
Yeah, but desire is the source of suffering. This is what the Buddha tells me. So,
right.
In his owning of a meteor crater, in his owning of anything, he was opening himself up for suffering.
Yeah.
Perhaps on our behalf. I don't know. I'm not a Buddhist.
It's possible. But
you have to become a laser lotus to find out, probably.
Yeah. And that's free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So Duncan's late to class. He overslept on the sidewalk. He forgot how comfortable they were.
The sidewalks are. Yeah.
Jane calls him a drunk. And we get like the whole Jane Duncan exchange of you're drunk and stupid.
Yes.
I have a headache. And this is when Duncan moves closer to Chang and realizes that Chang gets up and moves far away.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
He basically forces him to leave the class.
Yeah, he's using the power of the force mm-hmm. to get him out of there. I love this, now we're getting into the life and death cycle again. All life ends in death, resulting in... He writes it, it looks like some thimp. Like, his G in something is not... not totally legible as a G to me, only because, like, clearly that's the word he's trying to spell. But I want it, like, if we were doing LVPs, if this was down the hatch, I would give Duncan a demerit for how he draws out his G's. Got to work on that. It's not how you do it.
I think his whole teaching methodology is up for LVP-ness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff asks Duncan what the difference is between a religion and a cult. And he looks at Pierce when he says it. And Duncan says he doesn't know. And the book for this class is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
He has not purchased it.
Yeah.
Jeff says, well, I would say a cult might, for instance, sell you a tube of Jell-O and tell you your mother is in it.
It's brutal.
This is like, Jeff is so unnecessarily mean in this episode. Like, he's
being faced
brutal.
With his own mortality, Jess.
So you're mean to everybody else? That's what you do?
Yeah.
The temple of his body is causing him suffering, and therefore he's lashing out. And meanwhile, Troy wants to eat a ghost. Just
the
best lines of the episode.
Well, who doesn't? Yeah.
I love it so much.
I want to eat a ghost. Yeah.
If you gain enough levels, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Abed asks if people in your religion ever take liquid form, like creatures in the abyss or children's Tylenol.
Children's Tylenol is funny. Yeah.
Yeah, Pierce, I don't know how they came up with these lines for this episode for what Pierce says, but it cracks me up. Like, when Buddha returns, we all take liquid form and merge into a shimmering ocean of knowledge, which, according to scripture, tastes like Hawaiian punch.
Hawaiian punch. I don't know that sounds super appealing to me anymore.
Whoa.
Wait.
Am I crossing a line by saying that?
I just feel like the
I guess
child
I don't want to.
You
know what? I don't want to mess with it. I want to take this back. I want to walk this
Hawaiian
back.
Punch should have been in our 90s snack bracket. I feel like that's a classic.
I want to walk this back because I remember the commercial where he goes, "How about a nice Hawaiian?" And then he punches you in the commercial. Like, I don't want to. I don't want to mess with that. I'm not getting punched in the face over a drink. It's not happening. Too old for this.
It's better than the Kool-Aid man who bursts into your house.
Punch you because you're not taking the drink or because you did take the drink? Or?
I don't know. I'm going to, when we finish the podcast, I'm going to edit this whole section out because, like, I don't want to be involved at all with Hawaiian Punch. Just in case, like, I don't know which way, you know, Sarah, like, mm-hmm. is it because, like, I drank it or is it because I dissed it? I'm going to get punched. I don't want to be involved in this.
Classic so, bully. Classic bully.
Another reason, you know. another reason to be a Post Show Recaps patron because you get this Hawaiian Punch moment. But the normies aren't going to get this.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going to cut this part out of the podcast.
Yeah. This is when we get the student entering, asking if this is anesthesiology. And Duncan says, just go with it. Just go with it.
Just go with it. It's really funny.
We're in the cafeteria. Britta enters looking like a version of Annie.
Hey, I like need you to save the pelicans. They're all feathery and pelican-y. I love them. I love them.
This
is hilarious.
They're writing this bad thing, but they're brilliant.
I love them.
Yeah, they're so good at it.
And Gillian Jacobs is excellent. You know, just
she
like,
sells
yeah.
it. She does. And then we have the opposite side of the coin. We have Annie. Hey, jerk, you're stupid. Give me money. I know more than you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just ruining each other. Like, they are just, like, leaning in really hard into, like, the worst parts of each other.
I think, in my opinion, I feel like Annie wins the war, though, because she has the better digs, right? Like, she has a... That's why I wear stripper boots during the day and eat only celery and mustard for lunch. And then the hour early to ever so slightly curl my hair. Like, those are two...
Clearly,
are
the winner of the war is Shirley. From the sidelines watching them destroy each other. Just, oh, you're so different, skinny bitches, whatever, you know, like
yeah, the Let's chips.
Yeah, there was a barbecue flavor is what it seemed like.
Those bags look so bad, though. They talk about it on the commentary, how fake those chip bags look.
They don't look real, and they're
too straight, you know.
Yes.
But Duncan joins Jeff for lunch.
Yes.
Duncan asks, what happened in class today? And Jeff says he's denied himself. He suffered because the rule said, if I did, I would live longer. And now he finds out he could eat a donut. You know, it doesn't matter what he do. He could eat powdered bran while Duncan sucks down figgy pudding.
Mm-hmm.
He still might die first.
Yeah.
It's true.
And this is also when we see another Abed situation, Josh.
Yes. Okay. What am I missing here?
So in this scene, we have Abed, Christine, and her boyfriend talking over everything. And this is when she goes into labor and they escort her outside the parking lot.
Okay. Okay. So it's happening. It's happening.
Yep. Yep. And then this is when Duncan has to use his force against Chang.
Yeah. He needs to, like, stop having his conversation with Jeff for long enough to use the force to prevent Chang from eating food, and Chang just like keeps getting like thrown into objects. Yeah, it's great.
The final slam into the machine with all the snacks in it is just wonderful.
It's great.
He's so I love him. He's so committed to this, and it's such a strange pairing too, because they're both great comedians but in like completely different styles, not just that one's British and one's American, I'm not sure what his background is, but it's a whole stylistic clash as well, and I didn't expect this pairing to work so well, and yet it does. It works extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Duncan returns and says Jeff was devoutly worshiping himself, and now that your god has high cholesterol, you're trying to kick Pierce's in the balls.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mad. He's mad at God, so he has to destroy someone else's dreams. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very mythological tale that we're getting mm-hmm. here. Like, great traditions are being, I don't know if they're being honored here, but they are being translated to community.
Jeff here, like the motivation, the writing and everything is so good. This is one of the parts that, when we'll get to it, this is one of the parts of the episode that works extremely well, is that everything he does is psychologically and emotionally exactly this person, exactly the person that he is. From the cheerfulness with which he goes into Nurse Jackie's, you know, the hey to the girl, you know, and frame my, and I'm so cool and all of that. And then this utter fall from that height to, I am going to die, and so everybody else has to be brought down with me. It's so psychologically and emotionally on point for this character. I think Jeff sometimes can be a bit eh, but in this episode I really love the writing of him, the performance of him, and I think it works extremely well.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I think I landed somewhere like relatively middle of the road with Jeff, but I think that was like mostly impacted with just sort of like feeling a little bit detached from this episode overall. So like everybody's like down probably like mm-hmm. a decibel beyond where they usually are for me. Mm-hmm. Though I do love him when he goes to take them out for ice cream, which is happening right now. Yeah.
Yeah. He approaches Britta and Annie. We see Pierce wearing like this blue futuristic looking suit.
Chevy Chase, for like all of the, like, he's like a surly guy, like, you know, stuff, and like people like don't particularly love working with him on this show, it certainly seems like, and is a problematic character in his own right. Sometimes he will just like throw himself into this type of stuff. Like, he's wearing this crazy blue robe. And like, as a character, as Pierce, like, I'm just like fully buying Pierce's buy into this. That's not unimpressive, you know. Like, it's relatively impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things, and I'm hot and cold on Chevy Chase. I remember him when he was a very, you know, good looking, slim young man in films like Fletch and all of that stuff that I absolutely loved. I find it hard watching him in Community because there's an unpleasantness about Chevy, not the character, that comes through that I find hard, and I wonder if I'm influenced by knowing what I know outside the show, but unpleasantness is in the show. And then he does something like this episode where, apart from the breaking in the boob job line, which is actually a very funny line, it's an awful thing to say, but it is funny, there's something, as you say, Josh, about his total commitment to this, to the bit, to the idea of it, that you see that he allows you, there's some subtlety for once in his performance where he allows you to see, as we're going to get to the scenes in the car now, that while he espouses these kind of crazy things, there is a little boy inside whose mummy just died, and he can deal with it. And he just lets you see that, where you go, oh, Chevy, you're actually good, and I can't dislike you in this episode for those particular reasons, you know.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think that's spot on.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. We'll get into it with Pierce's meow meows from me. But Jeff says they're going to Pierce's hive, but first they're going to go get ice cream as an apology for questioning Pierce's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Troy says Pierce told him about a 69th flavor he needs to try.
Oh, sweet summer child. My God.
Pierce and Troy leave, and Jeff tells Britta and Annie that he's actually taking them to the county morgue, where I have confirmed that Pierce's mother, her very unvaporized corpse, will be lying on a stainless steel slab for all to see.
Yeah, this Surprise, is so dark. Reality. This is so, awful. So dark.
And any semblance of sympathy I had for Jeff, right out the window with this line.
Yeah, this is horrible. This is like by far and away, right, like the worst impulse of Jeff's across a season and counting. Like,
this, let me traumatize my friend with his mother's dead body. This
should,
basically,
this should be like an imprisonable offense. Like, this is so messed up. This is not good. Not okay.
I love.
Not okay. The Welcome to reality. Welcome to death.
It is astonishingly cruel thing to do. And to do it to
Troy. Yeah.
Just wants the 16. Yeah.
Poor Troy, who's already seen this woman's dead body.
And even
needs to see it again.
And even in this moment, while there's the war between Britta and Annie happening, like the two of them can unite enough to know that this is horrible. And Jeff is like, I can't believe I made out with both of you losers.
She's so awful. Like, on top of what he already said, that's such a jerk thing to say. Like, this is that. And I was like, F off, Jeff. Who are you?
That's great.
To the ground. He's burning everything.
Oh,
to the
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing is sacred. He will reign over the city of ashes. Yeah.
He leaves with the boys to go get ice cream. Britta and Annie argue more. Then we see the diorama break. Oil gets all over them.
Mostly,
and of course,
over Annie. I have to say that Annie really takes the brunt of the oil.
Yeah. Yep. And I think this is when Shirley, this is later that happens, but yeah. So then if everybody's like watching, everybody loves it. And Duncan says, this is why he came to America.
Yeah. This is his whole plan all along. So that's going on. And then we get into the car. This is the message from beyond, from Pierce's mother, telling him, I'm not vaporized, in as clear of language as possible, that I am gone. I do love this line. If you open the top of that thing, you'll see that it says made in China. That's funny.
That life is to be lived. Life is to be lived. Mm-hmm. Because Jeff hears that in a very particular way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lands with him, not necessarily with Pierce, who is, I think, still not ready to see what's going on. But like for Jeff, it's like, I am being awful and I need to like stop being awful. And it's like, I have to keep remembering this lesson every episode, but like, I got to remember it this week. I got to stop being awful. And I have to like let people grieve and live in the ways that they grieve, that they need to, and believe what they need to believe in order to work with this stuff. Cause life is hard and full of pain. And the CD leads to this incredible song.
This rap music, they say I'm
Is
cooler
this the
than
same
cool.
Group?
That I'm, yes. Yeah. That I'm the best of the best because they know that when I do, I'm going to do it to death.
Yeah. I love it.
I love Pierce's mom so much because she gives this heart. First of all, very funny. It's like everything wrapped into one little cute little like pig in a blanket. It's like, you have the, like, I'm not vaporized, I'm gone, like, very funny moment. And then you have this, like, such a heartfelt message of, like, life's only worth a damn because it's short. You know, it's supposed to be consumed, used, spent, lived, felt, you know?
It's
like, such
advice,
a great message.
Yeah.
And then she ends it with this rap song.
Yeah.
So good. So
I'll play myself out. Yeah.
I love it. And then Troy has the revelation of, like, she was making that when she died. And while we have this whole beautiful speech going on, we see Britta and Annie wrestling. Shirley is shaking her head. And this is when we see Abed delivering the baby in the background.
Yeah.
We see Jeff's face change. And, of course, Pierce says his mother's losing her marbles and throws the CD out the window. And Jeff says, you know, I found a better ice cream place than that we already passed. The other ice cream place is depressing.
Sure is. For a start, there's no ice cream.
Well, that we know of. I mean, even if there is ice cream at the morgue, that's not a great place.
Think about the.
I'm not getting the hot fudge sundae at the morgue.
Beside the others, the ice cream and then.
No.
No.
No. No.
No. I won't do that.
No.
I'm not going there. No.
No.
Oh, no.
I love Piers's mother, and she was very close to being on my dean's list, because it's just, it's not even that it's perfect. It's the warmth in her voice, what she says. It's true. She's talking to us as well. It's short, yep. And that's why it's sweet. And I think obviously this has a great effect on Jeff, which is what we're looking for. We see Piers not ready to hear it, but he certainly hears her say that she loves him. And that's, you know, he's an adult man, you know, he's older than I am, listening to his mother say that she loves him. And that's really such a gentle yet powerful moment. And then Troy's just has his own revelations. He's on his own. He hears his own own soundtrack. And even the throwing of the CD out the window, there's something. He's not accepting it, but he will accept it. This is what I mean about Chevy Chase, just kind of giving us that tiny subtlety. He's not just going to be in complete denial with all this madness, that he does hear it in some way, just not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're back at the quad. Britta and Annie apologize to one another. Then we have like this.
We're relitigating the Jeff stuff. It's just like,
I just can't. It frustrates me that it's like, oh, I only kissed Jeff because I want to see if I could do it. I want to be cool and sexy like you.
I just want to get. So I want to just move past all of this.
Let's please. Yeah. And they raise more money, you know, in 5 minutes of oil wrestling than they did in 2 days. Men are gross.
Yeah.
And like, the whole thing.
The girls are being insulted. I know we're moving past it, but as much as the women are being insulted by what's happening with the women, it's also insulting to men to say that, except sort of true with those teenage boys. Yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's sort of like it degrades all of us. Sexism hurts all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody wins here in this, in this storyline.
So Jeff got peanut butter and hot fudge ice cream because nobody lives forever. Shirley asks Abed what he's been up to, and we see a couple holding a baby, and Abed says not much.
And that I thought that was true, and I thought that I would find out later why, and I guess I technically have found out later.
Found out later.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, you know, all right.
Then we have the Chang and Duncan moment where Chang has a restraining order against Duncan for abusing him with his restraining order, mutually assured destruction. Yeah. And they're like friends now.
Yeah, did we just become best friends? Like the stepbrothers moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, because Chang admires his move, and that's all Chang wanted. To be
a yeah.
Mm hmm.
Wants
the attention.
So he takes the photo with Britta and Annie. And then the final scene, the after credit scene, is the return of Betty White, breaking down Inception. And I had to look up, I was like, wait, Tom Berenger was in Inception? I'd forgotten that Tom Berenger was in Inception. This is a non sequitur, but the idea of Betty White breaking down Inception, I find enjoyable enough that I give this because it's a pass or fail. Mm-hmm. So it is a slight pass for me because I think it's funny that Betty White is explaining the storyline of Inception. But if this ends up being Streets Behind, I'm not going to be mad about it. It's just so random. It's just like it has nothing. And I think this speaks to there is a little bit of a disjointedness to this episode of just like, It's not clicking all the way. Like, not everything is working exactly together the way that an elite episode of TV probably should.
I have it as Streets Behind. I just think it's, not of... And I love Betty White. I just don't think it's, super funny.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm grading these on. And I just didn't laugh.
I love Betty White. It's a sort of slightly old-fashioned idea that she's speaking English and he's speaking their language.
Right.
It is so detached from the episode thematically, the characters, everything. I find it hard to give Betty White a Streets Behind, so I gave them a Streets in Place.
Mm.
I don't know where that leaves us. I guess ahead, because if you don't fail, you pass.
I'll fail it.
I can go behind.
I'll fail it. Let's fail this. Just because it has no, she's not even in this one. So,
It's just a weird, it feels out of place. It doesn't feel, I agree with Sarah, it doesn't feel connected in any way to anything.
I mean, except that all art is about life and death. Inception isn't about death, dying, living life to the fullest. It's about
It is to a degree, isn't it? Like, you know, it's about like getting like lost in your dream world and like you gotta wake up and you've gotta like you have to like live your actual life and like I know that you're sad and I know that you lost a lot, but you need to be here. And also like is like, but are you actually here? But that like is a little bit more.
I mean, that being the more overt part of it detaches it. I also find that, you know, why are you speaking English? And he, it just doesn't quite.
Yeah.
I'm going to go behind.
Yeah, let's put it behind. I'm happy with that. I think that that works.
Okay.
Streets behind. I'm fine with that. That's only like what, like the third?
We haven't had Maybe the fourth? Think it's maximum of the fourth. Yeah, there's not many. I can look.
Fourth
it's not,
be with you.
One, two, three. It is the fourth.
Let's do some F community. Let's do the feedback. Not a ton this week. The level 5 laser bandit asked, how much of the secret Abed plot did Josh catch? Not a lot of it. Not a lot. I'll have to go back. I'll check it out. And certainly taking everybody's word for it. And then from Riley says, I find this episode really charming, and while there's nothing particularly groundbreaking about it, I love how it sets up a couple new season 2 dynamics and how it develops the characters while feeling a bit classic. I love the Duncan and Chang stuff here and how it calls back to the season 1 finale. One thing I enjoy about this episode is how it kind of feels like early season 1 in that it's not outlandish or crazy and mostly set on campus and focusing on different groupings of characters interacting and ultimately learning something. See, because I would say, for this is me talking now, that like that's the thing that I probably don't love about this episode. It's like I'm three episodes into season 2. Like I want to keep moving forward, and I feel like we're taking steps back. Riley continues, lastly, Pierce's mom's speech at the end of the episode is utterly beautiful, in my opinion, and is something that has stuck with me through the years. I love what the episode has to say about grief and what life ultimately is about. I think that that is a good point. About the strength of that moment. I do think that that's a really good scene. Meow meow time. See, I gave up at 2.5 because he's not in the episode, but I guess he is. So, like, I feel like I'm not giving him a fair shake. Can I, like, give him a different score next week?
You can. To be fair, I also gave Abed a 2.5, and I saw everything he did.
Well, I should just watch it. It's a 2.5 right now. I'll let you know if that changes. I gave Britta and Annie and Jeff and Chang, they all got 3s. They were like, you know, like they were either like totally middle of the road or they were kind of streets behind, but like brought to middle of the road by like some like what we were talking about, like some of just like the jokes land in spite of themselves. I probably could have gone higher with Pierce. In fact, I will. I'm giving Pierce a 4. I think that the story for him, Troy also getting a 4. I think the story for both of them and like their roles in the life and death of it all, I think is relatively strong. And certainly for Pierce, some of the better Pierce content we've had in a long time. And I'm always going to let my Shirley bias show. So I will give her a 4 as well. She had a few moments in this episode that I thought really had her standing out above the rest. So those are my meow meows this week. I feel like relatively tepid meow meows for this episode of Community for me.
Yeah, fair, though. I think that's, I mean, we're on similar pages. Sarah, what did you have for your meow meows?
I saw Abed's story and I gave him 2.5, which absolutely killed me because for me, Abed is a 5 meow meow across the 5s across the board always. So again, it was you know, again I gave myself the difficult task of talking about an episode of Community that he, while he has a role, and it thematically does tie in. I gave him a 2.5. Jeff, I gave a 4 because of the and what I talked about before about the psychological and emotional kind of truth to that character, and also the commitment of the actor. Britta and Annie, I found it very hard to score them because I think, again, the actors commit so well. They don't hold back in it. I'm sure they had feelings or opinions, but they don't hold back from their performances. And there were just some fantastically funny moments, I think they work really well together. So I gave them both a 3.5. Chang, I gave a 3. I'm fond of Chang. Pierce, I gave a 3, which is higher, I would think, than my normal idea of him, for reasons that I've said. I think he is not grossly awful, and he's going through something, and I think that Chevy Chase lets us see that. Troy, I gave 2.5, which also kills me. There wasn't really enough for me of him. I mean, the story of him finding Pierce's mother was wonderful. And then there's kind of not that much else. Shirley gets a 5 from me. Perfect. Every line, every look, the under the breath stuff, the passive aggression. This is like peak Shirley for me. And she absolutely makes a meal of, because she's outside of it, she makes that her kind of main thing, and I just love her. So I'd give her 5.
Love it.
Okay. Josh and I were pretty much simpatico this week, actually. It's pretty rare for us. The one exception being I gave Jeff a 0.5.
Yeah, wow. Wildly low. You gave him a half a bagel. Wow.
The more I saw of him, the more upset I got. And I don't know if it's because it was like, hit too close to home sometimes, where it's like when you're faced with feeling those feelings about mortality and death and everything, for your first instinct to be to hurt those around you felt like something that just isn't something I want to reward. Like a lot of things he did and said upset me so much. And I was like, no, you're getting demerits. You're getting judged for this. I just felt like bringing Pierce to see his dead mother's body at the morgue, like, he's lucky he got a half a point from me because he was moments away from a bagel on this one. It was rough. Wow. I couldn't with him. So he got punished.
Okay.
Lucky to be here to see it.
Yeah.
Half a bagel.
Yeah. Half a bagel. I know, with a with a schmear at least on the bagel.
It's
that bagel's not gonna schmear itself.
No. and then moving up from that, I gave Abed a 2.5 as well. I think that like he was fine in the parts he was in, but there wasn't much there. And it's in background, so it's not really, you know, he's not saying lines, you know, it's kind of whatever. 2.5 for him. Moving up from that, I gave Britta and Annie both 3s. Even though I have Annie bias, I mean, I could give her a 3.5 because I feel like she won the war with those quips, but I gave her a 3. I think that, like, I don't really like this storyline that much, and I feel like I have to show that in my meow meow beans. Yep. Shirley a 3.5 just because I feel like I did love her moments in that storyline as much as I really didn't care for it. Chang also a 3.5, very serviceable. Chang, I think that's, you know, I'm trying to be fair with Chang and reward him when he does things I like, and I did like this.
Yeah.
Troy, I gave a 4. I love, and it's I say this every week, Donald Glover, like, he can't say a line incorrectly. Like, he just nails it every time, and so even when he doesn't have like a ton of moments, he shines in the moments he does have. And so I gave him 4, like, mainly for the, like, the 69th ice cream flavor. Like, some of those funny moments, I can't.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, probably for the first time ever, maybe not, but Pierce got a 4.5 from me.
That's
so
crazy. Yeah.
I've given him a 5 once, I think. But for him to get a 4.5 for me is pretty
so
impressive.
Rare.
But, like, and the only reason he didn't get a 5, full 5, is because of the boob job comment. Like, I had to give him knock some points for that because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But like this episode is such a good Pierce episode because not only do we get like the funny ridiculousness of this cult he's in and the vaporizing and the amazing lines, but like we get the heartfelt moment with his mom. And like, I just felt like I've never liked Pierce as much as I liked him in this episode. And it's probably because, you know, the sympathy and the empathizing and all of that. But I still think that, like, that should be rewarded because I really liked Pierce in this episode.
Yep.
So, yeah, he got a 4.5 for me, which is huge for
that's
Pierce.
That's a gigantic leap forward for Pierce for you. That is a tremendous leap forward for Pierce Hawthorne.
Yeah, and it's probably not going to last very long. So
no,
let's not get too used to it. But
I'm not getting too used to it. I feel like, you know, this... My expectation, feel free to correct me on this, is I expect that this is probably going to be his best episode of the season. Is there a better one coming up?
I think the next best one, I'm just looking ahead here, is it might be in this. No, I think it's in this season.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, yep.
But it's questionable. It's questionable whether you think it's better, like his meow meow beans specifically are better in this episode or that one. Like, I think there's another Pierce heavy episode that's a really amazing episode, but I don't know that the meow meow beans will reflect that, if that makes sense.
It does make sense that it's a good episode, but Pierce may not rank especially high in the episode.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. So an update on our meow meow beans. We have quite some movement here with kind of like an odd episode in terms of scoring. So Troy is still in the lead at 37. Annie has moved up to second place with 34 points. I gave her fair amount.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. No one's coming after you, Jess. You're good.
I always feel like people are like, Annie bias.
You're good. You're good. We do always say that, but right now you're good. Yeah.
Abed dropped a place to third. So, and I mean, fair enough for this episode, right? Britta has maintained her position in fourth. Chang is in fifth place.
Top five, baby!
Absolutely wild.
That's crazy.
Then we have Shirley and Jeff both tied at 28 points, and Pierce at 24.5. But it's like, it's a tight race. Like, there's only, Troy's at 37 and he's in first, and Pierce is at 24.5 and he's in last. Like, that's not too much space between them.
Justice.
I know.
She hasn't had a great episode this season yet. That's the thing.
The second I've got the shot to give her a full five, it's coming, you know, it's like
coming in the next couple.
Okay, good. Great. Great. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Time for Dean's list. To me, I originally had written down, as I was watching the episode, first I wrote down Duncan ? And then I wrote down Nurse Jackie ? And then, like, one of the final scenes, immediately crossed out both of them and wrote Pierce's mom. I was like, for me, it was a given when she had that speech.
So
easy.
For me, it was very similar, where it's like, maybe it's Nurse Jackie. It's if Duncan is like my only option, I'm going to be disappointed with this episode. Yeah. And then Nurse Jackie shows up and then Pierce's mother gives the speech and like, it's a done deal. But then even if the scene isn't good, Betty White is in the episode. And so I'm giving her a Dean's List point to give her a continued fighting chance at the Dean's List. So I want you to know that, like, in my heart of hearts, this Dean's List point does go to Pierce's mother, but for the sake of putting a warrior in the Dean's List competition for season two, I have to give Professor Bauer a point while I have the opportunity. That is the calculus that I have arrived at.
And for me, it should be Pierce's mother by every metric. But then I think the third time through that I watched it in preparation, I thought it has to be Nurse Jackie for me. Those pats aren't going to smear themselves.
It's such a good line.
I love it.
Patton Oswalt, and I love his hair, particularly this character's hair is something incredible. So I'm really very happy and proud to give my Dean's List to Nurse Jackie.
I'm happy you did. I like the variety. I think there's like so many people we could reward in this episode with Dean's List point, and Nurse Jackie is certainly one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Paps aren't going to smear themselves. It's so perfect.
We're rating the episode in cools, as we often do, and I gave this one a flat 3, and I think that I could have been convinced to go a scooch lower, but I think like the thing that probably gets it into the 3s for me is that I really do like the resolution with Pierce's mother's speech in the car. Like, I do think that that's a really great moment for the show. And one of those moments that I think speaks to me of, like, because, like, a lot of the time, like, I kind of walk away from Community just, like, laughing really hard and thinking, like, it's a really, really funny show. But some of this stuff doesn't always land with me in terms of, like, the hard emotional content. I think that, like, especially the fact that it's coming from Pierce's mother of all people, you know, somebody who's connected to that character, I was taken off guard by it. So I think that boosts it to an extent for me into the 3 levels. But like, it's only that high because to me it feels to Riley's point earlier that like there is this like early season one quality to this episode, and I actually dislike that about this episode. I know that like we'd like talked about that a little bit with some of the stuff that we had seen earlier. I think even last week to some extent. But I just feel like it's too season one. And like maybe I would be thinking more highly of this if I had like known more about the Abed stuff. I don't know if that would like raise the bar or lower it. My instinct almost is like I appreciate the effort, but like almost like too subtle. I don't know. I have to go back and review it. I can't like fairly evaluate it. Right now I'm just gonna sit at the three.
Yeah, that's fair. I gave my last episode, I gave it 2.9. When I was watching this episode, I kind of felt similarly where like I don't really care too much about a lot of the plot lines. Like I like the Pierce's mom storyline, but the Britta and Annie stuff we talked through, I don't really care for it. But I ended up giving it a 2.9, which is what I gave last episode, simply because that episode had the hilarious moment with the chloroform that absolutely killed me and definitely bolstered those points up.
Right.
To me, this episode had the moment with Pierce's mom in the CD, which is a different type of bolstering, but the emotional bolster, you know, it kind of boosts it up a little bit. So I gave it a 2.9. I feel like that's it's just under the three, just a hair under a three.
A smidge.
It's still fine. It's still serviceable. It's still good television, but I have higher standards for Community, you know?
I mean, I think that's a really good point. It is, you know, we've talked it around and about and autopsied this episode, but it's a great episode of television, and to watch it as a viewer and enjoy it and take what you like and kind of ignore the bits you don't, because there's another episode coming and, you know, you can eat a ghost, you can smear a paint. I think it's hard then to give it a ranking. Mine was 2.8. It was very hard to, because I'm only doing one. It's hard to kind of calibrate. So I sort of started at four, sort of four's the most, and then it dinged down rather than being bolstered up by its good points I took away. I think one of its sins is how season one it is. And in that, its lack of integration of everything dings it down the most for me, even more than the sort of, you know, betrayal of Britta and Annie. Unlike you, I'm not an Annie fan, but I will stand by her and support her, and she shouldn't be in this. She and Britta should not have this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things are the biggest things for me, is the disjointed stuff and the... Like, you've got these women, do something, like, you can do really interesting things with them. So, yeah, 2.8 for me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And we're all on the same page as the audience as well. They give it a 2.83, which brings our average to a 2.88. I feel like this is the first time that it's been, like, you know, less than 2 points of a difference between everybody here. So that solidly puts it in third place currently, with a 2.88 behind Accounting for Lawyers that had a 3.18.
Do you think that this will be the low point of season two or no?
Looking ahead at the episodes, I think that next episode really kind of starts a string of like a lot of really good episodes. So it might be like there's one that I like less than this one, like off the top of my head. But I think like we're going to hit our stride very soon. As soon as next episode, I would say. Granted, the one after that is not my favorite, but I think we're, yeah, I know. And that's
absolute favorites, yeah.
It's controversial, I think. Yeah, it's controversial. But yeah, I think we're about to hit our stride here. So this is, I think we're ramping up. And this, I agree with what you guys had said. Like, it feels very season one-esque. Whereas to me, going forward on the next episode, it is like shooting off into the sky.
Okay, well, I look forward to blasting off with the second season of Community. Let's move on from here. I'm excited for all of that. I want to hit the stride.
I'm
looking for the stride. That's Community building this week. Sarah Carradine, what an absolute pleasure having you on here. I'm so glad that you were able to make it. I know very early for you, right? To be here on the pod.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful spring morning. Spring is here in Sydney, in lockdown Sydney.
Yep.
But I'm very lucky in my 5K radius. We're limited to 5 kilometers from our homes. I have the beautiful Centennial Park. I have Bondi Beach. I can swim. And I can walk, and a lot of my friends live within the same 5K radius. Not that we're good. Allowed to be in each other's houses.
Sure.
But it's a beautiful spring morning, and to wake up and speak to you two about this show that I really love has been, you know, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. I was thinking, did I kind of smart myself out by choosing a difficult one to talk about, but I'm actually really glad because it's really good to
cut. No, I'm happy you picked this
one. Yeah, me too. Me too. I think that this was super fun to get into, and also like a lot of like meaty stuff as well, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not always what happens with the show in my experience too. So like I really appreciated having those conversations. Sarah, when not contributing to the torture of myself and Brooklyn Zed via Jessica Lease on Mole Patrol, where could people find you and what do you got going on?
That torture is one of my favorite things. I just did a recap of the Outer Banks with Aisha Welsh and Mary Kutkowski, which you can hear on post show recaps. We had a very fun time doing that. And other than that, if you ever get to Bondi Beach, come find me. We'll have a swim in the ocean together and have great larks.
Once upon a time, Emily and I almost wound up there. And by once upon a time, I mean like maybe like 2 years ago. Didn't happen. Gosh, I hope it happens at some point.
I hope so too.
That'd be great. That'd be super, super fun. Jess Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of shit has the 90s taught you recently?
Oh my gosh, that should be our new theme song. Sounds like a children's show.
I'll clip that out for you. You guys could do it that
way.
That will
be very concerning to put at the beginning of our show because we are an explicit podcast.
Yeah.
So that might be a bit confusing.
Sure.
But yeah, so recently we hit our 1 year podcast anniversary. So we released our snack bracket for all the 90s snacks. We did eat them. We did consume them. Great fun was had. It was wonderful. And this month, September, it is Robin Williams Appreciation Month for us, not for anybody else that I know of. So we put out a poll, that had 4 movies. So it had Flubber, Jumanji, Jack,
Mrs. Doubtfire,
and Mrs. Doubtfire. Would you like to take a guess at which two we will be podcasting about this month?
Doubtfire for sure.
That is for sure.
And then I think you're going with Flubber.
I said Jumanji.
Sarah is correct.
Wow!
I wanted to podcast about Flubber. I love Flubber. I have huge appreciation, a childhood appreciation for Flubber. But Jumanji won, and so the people have spoken. So those will be the two podcasts that are coming out this month. We're lining up guests. So more information, TBD, look out for our Twitter, @shit90spod. We have a website that Sarah is amazing in design, www.shit90spod.com. Send us in a voicemail, send us in an email, send us in anything. We love to hear from people. We're starting Dawson's Creek season 3.
Wow. How many seasons of Dawson's Creek did it go?
6.
Really?
Yeah, it's a long show. And then these are like 20-something episodes, man. This is like a legit network television show. But we're loving it. We're having so much fun. Also, in case you haven't heard or listened to our emergency podcast, the theme song, which I raged against the machine about in the very early days of our podcast, it is back.
Yeah.
It is back, baby.
Yeah.
It's back on Netflix. Never again will I hit skip intro. I make a solemn vow. I will listen to I Don't Wanna Wait every single time.
How did they wrest it back? How did this work out?
They heard, Josh, literally this happened on our podcast anniversary. The Dawson's Creek gods.
The Dawson gods.
They heard us.
Yeah.
And they answered our prayers to give us back the theme song.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
From the creek to the flicks, they got the song back on.
No one else is as excited as Sarah and I were. We had to do an emergency podcast about it, but like, I'm thrilled about it. It's an iconic song.
I love the song, obviously. It's pretty good, of course.
It is good.
It's maybe not as good as the Round the Twist theme song, but it's I'm not gonna play it again. I can't do it.
But yeah, that's what we have going on. So go check that stuff out.
Okay, check that stuff out over at Shit 90s Pod on your socials. One other thing.
Before I forget, I'm also going to be speaking of Aisha. I think we talked about her earlier. We talked about her? I don't know if we mentioned her.
Yeah, on the Outer Banks podcast.
That's what I thought. Okay, yes. I thought I heard. Yes. I'm going to be on her podcast on the reality TV wrap ups for Married at First Sight this week.
Ooh,
I'm so excited.
That's
the
cool.
The show is wild and I love it. That's and I can't wait to talk about it.
That's fun.
So go check that out too.
Community building. We'll be back next week. You said to get excited about the episode. What's the episode called and who do we have coming on to the show?
Basic Rocket Science. And this is one of those ones that I think we've talked about how like the names aren't always great. Like the titles of the episodes aren't always great. And you don't always know what they're about. This one you do.
Okay, great.
You will remember this one after you watch it. We're going to space and we're going to space with the one, the only John Krause.
I'm so happy to hear it. I miss John Krause a lot. We don't talk nearly enough anymore. So this will be really fun to get him on the podcast and talk community. I know one of his very, very favorite shows. Yeah. Did he request this one?
This was on his list.
Great. Amazing. Can't wait. That's going
to
be great.
We get to see if he still has his epic beard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Well, John, if you're listening and you don't have the epic beard, you've got a week to grow it. cannot wait to get John back on the podcast. We'll be back next week. More community building. So much going on post-show recaps. Already gave you the wombat hat sell, but hey. It couldn't hurt to just say, they're leaving. They're becoming vapors. Get it before they're vapors, those wombat heads. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And so much else happening in the post-show recaps family. We really appreciate all the support. We'll be back next week. More community building. Until then, Corey B, take us away.
Dean.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Dean Gill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.